Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we're going to be looking at the important subject of the Trinity. And in John 17, verse 3, John says this, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So here John associates eternal life with knowing the true God and the one that God has sent. So it's important to have a proper understanding of who Jesus Christ is, who God the Father, as well as who the Holy Spirit is, in order to truly have eternal life. Now, some people will try and say, well, the concept of the Trinity is difficult to understand. It's difficult to prove within the Scriptures, and they get confused over it, and they say, why make that such a big deal or an important point? Well, Jesus here relates eternal life to knowing the true God. So it's important for us to worship God in Trinity, to worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to know Him as He has been revealed within the Scripture. And in our broadcast today, what I want to do is a brief historical overview of the formation of the doctrine of the Trinity. And one of the best and most precise definitions on this subject was written years ago by Martin Luther in the early 1500s. He wrote this describing the Trinity: "The only true God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one divine being or essence." That's from Luther's Short Catechism. And that definition is precise, it's to the point, and it clearly shows that aspect of the threeness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet describing God as one divine being or essence. When we look at the subject of the Trinity historically, it's not a doctrine that we find early in the writing of the Apostolic Fathers fleshed out in detail, because that was not the issues or the heresies that they were dealing with. Yet, we definitely find confirmation of the belief in the Trinity in their writings. So for the rest of our time today, I want to look at some of the Church Fathers and see what they said on the subject of the Trinity. And we'll start with Ignatius, who was the second bishop of the Church at Antioch. And he was the bishop at Antioch from 110 to 117. And he wrote seven letters. Four of them are actual cities that are described in the Bible. He wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Rome, to the church at Philadelphia, and to the church at Smyrna. Then he also wrote one to Polycarp, who was one of the early martyrs of the faith. And in his writings, we see a clear stress on the unity of God. He strongly affirms the oneness of God, but also stresses the threeness. The way that he described the Trinity was in relationship to the different roles or offices each person of the Trinity held. He attempted to describe the difference between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the actions that they all participated in relationship to creation and salvation. About Christ, he simply just used the terms that are found within the Scriptures, describing him as the only begotten or the Son of the Father. He also called him the eternal Word of God, showing that he believed in the eternality of Christ, also his divine preexistence, and in his writings, he warned against denying either the humanity or the deity of Christ. And so early on, we see Ignatius writing about the difference between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the different roles or offices which they held. And then Hippolytus, who lived from 170 to 235, in his work called Apostolic Tradition, he has a series of questions which were asked to those who were being baptized to make sure they were confirming the Christian faith. And these are the questions that were asked a person early on before they were baptized. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was born of the Holy Spirit from the Virgin Mary, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate and died, and rose again on the third day living from the dead and ascended into the heavens, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, and the resurrection of the flesh? So here's an early document in the second century that was asked believers before they were baptized to confirm the faith. And you see a definitely strong emphasis on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Later on, a similar version of this statement of faith is also found in Tertullian's writing called The Rule of Faith. Then moving on to Clement of Rome, who was Bishop of Rome in 97. He wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, the same one that Paul wrote to, and he described God this way: "For as God liveth, the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and the Holy Spirit, who are the faith and the hope of the elects." That's from Corinthians chapter 58, and then from Corinthians chapter 33, Clement acknowledges God as the creator and master of the universe. The next church father that we move to is Tertullian, and he lived from approximately 160 to about 220 or 240. And he was the first one that actually used the term Trinity. And there was a point in the church where the deity of Jesus Christ was being attacked, as well as the Son's relationship to the Father. And as Tertullian was writing in Latin, he chose two terms that we actually use today in English to describe the precise nature of the Trinity. He chose the word substantia and personae. Substantia is the word we use, being or essence. Personae is a Latin term for persons. And so when we describe the Trinity as three persons yet in one divine being, that's directly from Tertullian's writings. And so he tried to define the Trinity in precise terms so that heresy would not be able to be brought within the church. And in one of his writings entitled Against Praxis, Praxis was a false teacher, in describing God, he writes this: three, however, not in condition, but in degree, not in substance, but in form, not in power, but in aspect, yet of one substance and of one condition, and of one power, inasmuch as he is one God, from whom these degrees and forms and aspects are acknowledged under the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So here we see an early description of the three persons, yet one being. Again, in the Latin, that would be three personae, yet one substantia. And so Tertullian wanted to define the precise relationship of God being one and yet being three. And he coined the term Trinity, which obviously stresses the unity of God, but also the threeness of God. Now, moving on a little bit later in church history, around 325, the Nicene Creed was written. And this was primarily written to affirm the deity of Jesus Christ. And it stressed that the Father was one person, the Son was one person, as well as the Holy Spirit being one person. And it says this of Jesus: the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, and very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. The term one substance is the Greek word homoousion, which means that Jesus Christ is of the same essence or being exactly like the Father. He's not similar to the Father or like the Father, but that he is fully God. And then this creed also speaks of the Holy Spirit, which says, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. So early on in 325, we see a more detailed definition of the Trinity. There are some cult groups that like to come along and say, oh, the Trinity came late in the history of the church. But what I'm trying to point out to you is from very early on, there was the emphasis on the unity of God, the oneness of God, yet the three persons. And then probably one of the clearest creeds that the church has written on the Trinity is the Athanasian Creed, approximately about the 6th century. And the first 28 lines refer to the Trinity in describing the unity of God as well as his threeness. And I will read some of those. It says, and the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. For the Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, the Holy Spirit uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, and the Holy Spirit is almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet they are not three lords, but one Lord. This creed continues to go on to describe the Trinity in like fashion. And when it comes to the end subject on the Trinity, it says this: he therefore that will be saved must think of the Trinity. So we do see from throughout church history, the Trinity has been affirmed, reaffirmed, confirmed, described in different ways, trying to describe the unique relationship that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all have with one another, being three distinct persons, yet one divine being. And in recent times, Lewis Berry Chafer wrote this description of the Trinity: the Trinity is composed of three united persons, without separate existence. So completely united as to be from one God, the divine nature subsists in three distinctions: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Ron Rhodes, a contemporary apologist of today, writes the following: within the unity of the Godhead, there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and each of these three are co-equal and co-eternal. So we see throughout all of church history, the church has held to the doctrine of the Trinity. And once again, I'd remind you of what Jude says in verse 3 about individuals creeping into the church, trying to distort the doctrines that have been given to the church. And we are exhorted, as Jude writes, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And so that's our role now, is to defend the doctrine of the Trinity. And for the rest of the week, I'll be giving you plenty of scriptures and evidence to be able to prove from the Word of God that God is Trinity, and He's to be worshipped in Trinity. And that is to know the true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.